I could put it on. All right, we were finishing up our discussion of Bonet, which is concluding with the discussion of making an OL and making a Mechitza. We discussed last time that an OL Arai, an OL which cannot last for a significant period of time, is Asa Midrabanan Atu Asiyas OL Keva. And we mentioned last time that if the point of the OL is to protect what's underneath it, it's protective, like Otzeo or from the rain, then you don't even need mechitzos. It's enough even if you just made a gag. So we discussed the person wearing a hat that extends a tefach, so that would also be an issue of OL, even though there's no mechitzos there. However, if it's not made letzel, or to be a protective covering, then you would require mechitzos. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Even though, the implication of the Shulchan Aruch is, even though I plan on using the space underneath it, it's not that I just plan on using the space on top. That's for sure. I wouldn't require mechitzos in order to be over on the Issa Midrabanan. But even if I plan on using the area underneath for storage or something, but it's not protective, it's not protecting me, it's not protecting an animal, something like that, then I would require mechitzos in order to be over on the Issa Midrabanan. The Bir Halacha there, though, quotes from a Rashba. That even if it's not protective, as long as I plan on using the area underneath it, it's enough with a gag to be over on the Issa Midrabanan. Only if it's not going to be used at all, like a step stool. If I only plan on using the top of the step stool, not underneath it at all, then in order to be over on the Issa Midrabanan of a CSOL, I'd have to build mechitzos as well. If I would have four stands with a step stool on top, with a piece of wood on top, that wouldn't be a CSOL. However, the Shmir Shabbos discusses, let's say, making folding tables on Shabbos. Let's say I have so we mentioned it's not an issur of bonet to do unfold kalim that are already attached. Especially here because it's meant to be undone and meant to be opened and closed. But when I straighten the table or if I attach a leaf into the table, maybe the same issue would apply, is that I've just made an ohel. Regardless of the issue of bonet, I've made an ohel. So, yeah, but there are no mechitzos. So Shulchan Aruch says, in order to be over in the Issa CSOL, if it's not a protective covering, I need mechitzos as well. Yeah, but I plan on using underneath the table for my legs. So is that called using the table where I could be chayiv according to this Rashba, which the Bir Halacha quotes? According to the Shulchan Aruch, it's fine. Because even if I plan on using it, it's not protective. But the Bir Halacha quotes a Rashba, and he recommends l'chadchila to be machmir for that, that even if I plan on using it, even if it's not protective, I could be over with just the Issa Midrabanan, with just a roof, with just a gag. So the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa says he doesn't think using it for your feet underneath the table is called using the bottom of the table. Because the Iker Tashmish is on top. Underneath is a Tufel Tashmish, it's a secondary Tashmish. So he thinks that that's not called using the table, and it would be permissible. One doesn't have to worry, erect a folding table from Friday to be used on Shabbos because I only plan on using on top, and there's no mechitzos. Yeah.
So, let's say someone's singing their supper or whatever, and they want to say, to get the soda, the cold drinks add the shade, let's say a soda bottle, they want to put it on the bottom underneath, then all of a sudden they get
into the soda. Nah. That's odd. I don't think most people do that.
But if one wanted to do that, that would be a problem.
No, because the OL is already made. If you would then say, I want to shade my soda, so I put up a folding table and put the sodas underneath the folding table, then maybe you'd have an issue. You heard him say? And then that's only a chumra for the Rashba. The Shulchan Aruch says, as long as it's not protective, that's like a sale. Yeah, that would be a problem. If that's why I put up the table.
But once already up.
Yeah, I don't think so, no. Yeah, but the general rule is, if I'm only planning on using on top, that's the Kuli Alma. If I only plan on using on top of the OL, then I would require, in order to be over the Issa Midrabanan, a roof and mechitzos. But the Gemara in Beitza says, and this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that if I switch the order in which it's normally made, the normal way you make an OL is I put up the walls, and then I put up the roof. So Gemara in Beitza says, if it's an OL, only an OL Arai, we're only dealing with an Issa Midrabanan of making a temporary OL. If I build it in a not normal way, it's mutter. So if I first build the roof, then the walls, that's odd, that would be permissible. So the Chazon Ish adds a chiddush, which is difficult to understand. The Chazon Ish says that's even if it's asui letzel. What does he mean? He means asui letzel. Let's say I have four poles that hold up gazebo, you know, in the middle of the grass. So I want to put that up on Shabbos, and it's only arai. So he says if I first put up the roof, then I put the stands. I don't need mechitos. If it's letzel, I don't need walls. Even if I just have a roof, I'm chayav. I'm over on the Issa Midrabanan. So Chazon Ish says if I first put the roof, then I put the stands underneath it, also that's heter gomer. This comes up if lemaisa by the bug nets. Sometimes you have the strollers need nets so that the mosquitoes don't bite babies. Or if it's more common is if it's raining and the person wants to take the stroller out on Shabbos and he didn't put on, strollers have a secondary covering which could be put on them, which is a plastic covering that protects the baby from the rain. So, assuming it wasn't attached to the stroller may erev Shabbos, and now I want to put it on the stroller on Shabbos. Yeah, but you're making an OL. Okay, so maybe there's no mechitos. Here I think there are mechitos. It goes all the way around the stroller. But even if there would be no mechitos, it's letzel, or it's the protective covering. So it's aser, even if it's just a gag. So Chazon Ish says, if I first hold up the net, or the rain gear, and slide the stroller underneath, that's permissible. So why is the Chazon Ish so striking? The problem with the Chazon Ish is, yeah, but the whole heter of making the roof before the walls is because in order to be over on the Issa Midrabanan, I need the walls too. Here, just the roof is over the Issa Midrabanan. So when I hold up the rain gear, I'm already over in the Issa Midrabanan, whether there's a stroller there or not. Because I've made a gog that's protective. So how can I even hold it there to then slide the mechitza or slide the poles, the supports underneath, even if they're not mechitzos? I'm over the Issa Midrabanan once I hold it there. So the Achronim explained that the Chazon Ish conveniently has another chiddush, which helps the Chazon Ish, which is that if I'm holding an ohel in my hands, that's not called a CS ohel. If the only way it's supporting itself is by me holding it, that's not an ohel. An ohel, in order to be called an ohel arayv, to be over in this Midr Rabbanan, has to be self-supported. Self-supported, or not supported by me. So therefore, when I hold the rain cover, it's being supported by me, that's not an OL. And then I slide the stroller underneath, and then now I let go of the OLs. Oh, but there the supports came after the OL was already an OL. It's an OL enough while I'm holding it to be called the Gog first, but it's not an OL enough to be over on the Issa Midrabanan of a CSOL. So this Chiddush, the second Chiddush of the Chazon Ish, the Avnei Nezer also says that, and he proves it based on a Gemara. The Gemara says in Parakira in Masechta Shabbos that if meis hamuta b'chama, the person dies and on Shabbos and he's sitting out in the middle of the sun, so they're worried that it's going to smell or the body is going to decompose faster because it's sitting in the sun. So what can you do to protect the meis? So the Gemara says two people can come and sit down next to the meis, and then they can bring two shulchanos, two tables, and put them next to the meis and sit on top of them. Then they can take a mat, a machzelis, and put it over the two of them, because in order to protect themselves from the sun. Once they're hot, they're allowed to put a machzelis over them too. So again, so you have the mason between the two people sitting on either side, and they put a machzelis over each other, and also thereby covering the mace, which is in between. Then the Gemara says they can lift up the tables and put it under the machatzelos and walk away. And what you nimtza that you have an ohel over the mace, because I made the roof and then I made the walls afterwards. So the Avnei Nezer asks, yeah, but how are they allowed to put the machatzelos over themselves in the mace? That's a gag. That's also a tzel. That's also midrabanim. You should see us all right. That alone should be yasser. Doesn't help that you have the walls, then the roof. So the Amnei Nezer says it must be that since they're holding it biyadayim, that's not called an oel. An oel has to be supported by some other supports, not because a person is holding it up. Therefore, the Chazon Ish says that sometimes on Simchas Torah, when they do Kol Narim, so they hold up a talis over the children, so the Chazon Ish said, yeah, but they're holding it biyadayim. So since we're holding it biyadayim, that's not considered Asiyas Ohel Arai, to hold the talis over all the children. The Shmir Shabbos says, quotes from the Reb Chaim Noah, a different reason from the Ksos HaShulchan, that it's only going to cover. That's not an Ohel. It's just made to cover the Simchas Torah and the Naorim to give them a nice feeling of whatever. So that's not, that has nothing to do with a CSOL. It's only if you intend for the OL, not for cover.
When he talks about like being self-standing, I mean, like sometimes you have poles that can't stand on their own either. Like let's say you have four poles on the top. Like the, it'll just topple over if you're not holding it up, but you're not actually holding up the gag.
Like an umbrella, you mean? I'm not holding the gag, I'm holding the stem of the umbrella.
Okay.
Yeah. I would think that'd be called self-support, being held up by a human. I think if it's holding,
so
I don't know, for some reason...
The head, the Chazanish's head.
Would apply there too,
yeah.
I think, yeah.
Because it would just collapse.
Yeah. Right.
Because instead of extending your arm, you're just, you have a
right. Umbrella, right, right. I would think though, but let's say I have it's attached to the wall, and the wall's going to crumble unless I keep my hand on the wall. I, for some reason, intuitively, it seems different to me. But I don't know. Yeah. So we discussed, oh, keva, that's also midor oraisa. Oh, yeah.
The mace that they put over
them. Right.
That was like a talus, it was like soft.
Like a mat.
But hard mat or soft mat?
I don't think it makes a difference.
Oh,
because that's being held up. Yeah, but by a kova. So what happened to the heter by the hat? So how do we ever have an issur of hats? It's always being held up by a person.
Unless you say that's a
I don't know. There are those who disagree with the Chazon Ish or say limit the Chazon Ish that it's only when it's ain't dark or bekach. If it's dark or bekach, like by the umbrellas, nobody brings this up. How come nobody brings this up by the umbrellas? Is it tzav ha'hakel that a person's holding it the whole time? So they, I think the Orach HaShabbos quotes from Rabbi Yashiv, I think, or one of his Rebbeim, maybe one of Rabbi Zvi'el Orbach, that whenever it's the derech of the thing to be held up by a person, then you don't have this hat there. It's only by, I don't remember who he quotes. Orach HaShabbos quotes someone.
Well, an umbrella could be different also. Being an umbrella, even if the person's not holding it, it still has its tent-like structure. And again, because if it's hard...
But if you drop it, it wouldn't make a tent.
But if you put it down, there's still part of it that's coming over on top.
Depends how big of an umbrella you have.
Assume that it's enough of an angle,
That's not their cheshbon. I don't think they bring it up. They explain, the Orach HaShabbos explains, because whenever it's dark or bekach for a person to hold it up, then you don't have this at there. So maybe that would be the explanation by hats, too. Anyway, an oel that's keva that can last for an extended period of time, that's asur midor raisa. Oel arai that cannot last for an extended period of time, that's asur midor rabbanan. And then the Gemara says a trisko. Trisko is a folding chair. That's heter gomer. When I open up the folding chair, so there was a piece of a picture like the director chairs. You know, when you open them up, so there's a piece of cloth which spreads out and makes a little covering that the person sits on top of that. So Gemara says that's permissible on Shabbos, and that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. So why? Why should that be permissible? So the Mishnah Berurah explains, because I'm not making the oel on Shabbos. The oel was made already. I'm just extending it. The oel's there. Others embellish the Mishnah Berurah and say, whenever it's Tashmisho Behachi, that's the usage of the item. So then that is not called Asiyas Ohel, that's called using, like we had by Binyan. Whenever the normal way of this item to be used is by being open and closed, that's not by opening a door, that's not being sos of the house. That's the usage of the doors, it gets open and closed.
Well,
so through here,
like an awning.
So the Rama says as well, if a person wants to build his sukkah underneath an awning, which opens and closes, and there's a hinge there, it's obvious that it's used for opening and closing, So then you could build your sukkah under there. When it rains, close the awning, and when it's sunny, open the awning.
Who says?
That's a Ramah in Hilchos Sukkah.
And so this would, when you have on people's decks, they often have the.
Oh, we're talking about one second. Excellent. So the Noda Behuda has his tshuva about the umbrellas, where the Noda Behuda says he thinks a person who uses an umbrella is chayiv chatos. So he asks, why is that different than the triskel? She says, because the triskel is mutter, not like the Mishnah Brura says, because it's hashmisha b'hachi, or because the oil is made there before. It's because I don't intend on using underneath the chair. What do I intend when I make the chair? I intend to sit on top. Oh, so that's a gag without mechitzos, that all I'm planning on using is for on top. That's why it's permissible. That's the old rule. A gag without mechitzos that I'm only planning on using on top is mutter. That's why triskel is mutter. But if I plan on using underneath it, certainly for protection, b'yaser asim idarabonin. He says even chayim chantos. What about the point that I plan on taking it down after a certain period of time? So isn't that binyan l'shah? Whenever, again, binyan arai means, olal arai means it can't last for an extended period of time. What if it can last, but I plan on taking it down? So there were those who are makol, that's called binyan l'shah. There were those who are makol that if I plan on taking it down, that's permissible. And the Noda Behuda says, no, we are machmer on that channel. The binyan l'shah is aser. So Noda Behuda asks the umbrella. And even if it's open, Me'er of Shabbos, why can't I leave my umbrella open, Me'er of Shabbos, and carry it around with me on Shabbos? So you know who this is, because wherever I walk, I'm making a new OL. It was an OL over here. Now I take it over here, I just made an OL over there. And he says there's a Mara sign that you opened it then, because most people don't open the umbrella Me'er of Shabbos and leave it hanging around. Most people close the umbrella when they're done with it. Therefore, Moshe has a tshuva where he says that a person, let's say they have on strollers a lot of times. We were discussing secondary coverings on a stroller. Lots of strollers have canopies, or you know, little things that come over to protect the child in the stroller. So Moshe said, you cannot open that on Shabbos. It's the same as the umbrella. Ah, it's made to be opened. Like a triskel. Triskel's different because I don't plan on using underneath it. Moshe said, if it's open, the tefach already, so it says in Shulchan Aruch that something which is opened already a tefach, tosefes, ohel arai, is mutter. If there is already an ohel there, and I want to add to the ohel, that's permissible. Well, that's another reason to permit adding leaves into tables. There's already have an ohel there. So I add a leaf. Tosefes, ohel arai, is mutter. So Ramosha says if the stroller's already opened the tefach a little bit, not that even when it's bunched up there's a tefach there, that doesn't count. It has to be that it's opened the tefach, then I could extend it even further. Yeah.
If you're opening up because now it's gonna be giving tefach, maybe that's not your intention. You just want sort of to put something.
I don't know. There's no baby there?
There's a baby there, but that it's...
So you're using it for both.
Right, but I mean, if you're not intending for that, you don't care about that. You don't need the shape.
I don't know if we go like that. I don't know if we say that. One could say yes. One could say it's mutter. I would have to think about it more. Yeah.
Why is the bunched up tefach?
This is what it says in Shulchan Aruch. So this heter of Tosefes Ol Arai is in Shulchan Aruch, and Shulchan Aruch it says that it doesn't count if it's bunched up.
Isn't there a whole thing when hanging up a shade, at the point where
you're
hanging
it,
it's
tefach
wide, being there, it's also...
Well, you're talking about
mechitza.
That's an
oil?
Shades are
oil? You have to be careful when hanging something, it's not tefach wide.
If it is but the bunched up, no, it says in Shulchan Aruch, the bunched up doesn't help. What happened to the Ramah? The Ramah said in Hilchos Sukkah that if I have my sukkah underneath my awning, so I can open and close the awning, and there I intend to use what's underneath it for protective purposes. So why is that different than the umbrella or the baby carriage? So Noda Behuda never deals with that Ramah. It's not in Hilchos Shabbos, so he doesn't deal with it. So in the Sefer, the Shabbos home, he deals with that problem. And it's difficult. The question is better than the answer, but he suggests that perhaps the Ramah is different because there, even when I close it, it's still an OL. I don't know why it's so different than the stroller, but it's different than the umbrella. With the umbrella, when I close it, the OL's gone. It's sitting in the bucket, you know, for umbrellas. Here, it still looks, I don't know, it's kind of subjective, but it still looks like an OL somewhat. So the shame OL isn't gone. It's just closed. Whereas the umbrella, it's totally gone. You could fold it up, some of these umbrellas fold up, turn into a keychain or something. So then that looks like something totally different. So then the shame, oh, is gone. I don't know. I don't think the answer is so great. The Chasam Sofer disagreed with the Noda Behuda, and he held that no, for a bunch of reasons. On a number of fronts, he disagrees with the Noda Behuda. First and foremost, he disagrees that Binyan L'Shah is mutter. That if I plan on closing it, and certainly over here, it's within that day. A person plans on closing within that day. We mentioned last time that even for some who are machmer, binyan l'shah, are makel if it's bo bayom. I plan on undoing it that day. And Noda Behuda obviously doesn't distinguish like that. Melech Chasam Sofer says, I plan on closing it that day, so it's not a CSOL. But moreover, he says that it's the same case as the Triskel, that I plan on that it's osir l'kach. So he thinks it should be mutter. But he does not make a lemaisa, because he says that he thinks it's uvda dechol. Not sure that necessarily fits in with our definition of uvda dechol. Maybe we have to have a new definition for the Chasam Sofer. And it's a siyas pirta. He says the Klal Yisrael was already noeg that umbrellas are aser on Shabbos, and so for someone to now be meiko would make a pirta. Would look like
there. Was that determined?
Chasam Sofer. He's the one who formulated that principle.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I have a guy carrying it. Are you aware that people are making this? Right, when it was still a hot issue. You have to have an Arab, obviously. Yeah, David is. Yeah. Yeah. And he said it's okay?
They did it in Paris.
Oh, really? Yeah. Chazanish also thinks it's mutter.
Depends on the community,
but what's his name? Was it Frank? Well, maybe he wrote that after.
Chazanish.
Yeah. Because of this Israel pirta. What? Because it depends on where it's a pirta. Here it's not a pirta. Chazanish also thinks it's mutter. There's a whole attack on the Noda Behuda. He doesn't understand why it's different than Triskel. Why than the folding chair. And so therefore he's Mako. So this is my understanding of the Chazanish. Chazanish doesn't understand an attack on the Noda Behuda. And then he's Mako in two other cases, which he gives other explanations for, why he's Mako here as opposed to by the umbrella. But I think it's generally understood, at least it's my understanding, that the Chazanish is really just saying umbrellas are usher. Anything that's similar to umbrellas, where there's no asiyas pirza, that he's willing to be Mako. So by the strollers he's Mako. To extend the awning over the stroller, he's Mako because it's not an umbrella. Oh, my son. His umbrella is a CSP. So, but opening a stroller, he was Mako on.
Did he quote the Chasam Sofer?
I don't remember. Of course, the Noda Behuda disagrees with this. I don't remember if he quotes the Chasam Sofer. He was also Mako if you have a patio umbrella that's attached to the ground. You know, it's in a weight or some major, you know, stand. And you could open that on Shabbos. It's Mamish an umbrella. but it's kavua bekarka. So the Chazon Ish explains, because if it's kavua bekarka, it's less significant, because it can't walk from, can't go from place to place. That's his explanation. Why is umbrella different from the stroller and from the patio umbrella? Because those are kavua b'makom echad, so it's not as significant. An umbrella is multifunctional. I can take it wherever I go. That's his reasoning. So the so it's less significant. So Shmir Shabbos quotes from Rosh Hashanah Zalman, who said, I would have distinguished the other way. If it's kavua b'karka, it's more significant. If it's can only go, if it's you have to hold it to use it, that's less significant. So I think Rosh Hashanah Zalman's right. If it's kavua b'karka, it's more significant. The explanation is the Chazon Ish was, this is my explanation, but you can take it or leave it. I think the Chazon Ish was trying to say umbrellas were no way to be machmir. Okay. But if it's kavua bakarka, like a patio umbrella, or it's a stroller covering, there the minig of the umbrellas doesn't apply, so he's willing to be mekel.
What's Ravadi say
about that? Ravadi is machmen umbrellas.
It could be that the Chazanish felt that when it's in the karka, it's not a new mice, a sea of soul every second. I mean, it's like he's more...
But he thinks it's the same as the Triskel, so why is that Triskel is that it was meant to be open and closed?
Right, I'm saying, but it could be the Svara why he thinks it's less significant, because it's less.
He thinks it's Tikkun Mana, we don't have to worry about OL, it's Tikkun Mana, because we're making a new Kli, so if I take it from place to place, then I'm really like making new Kli. If it's stuck here, I'm not making it new every time, it's here. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says, no, if it's Kavu Bakarka, that's a real Tikkun Mana. If it's I don't know.
This is more similar to the Ramah, though. Couldn't you just come onto the Ramah?
Right. Right.
And how significant a weight does it have to be?
No, I think if it's place is there, you don't carry it from place to place with you.
Yeah,
patio. Yeah. So Chazon Ish would be Meiko, and Ramosha and the Noda Behuda would be Machmir. That's what comes out. So a bunch of cases will fall into those two, fall into this machlokas. The Rosh Shabbos discusses, which was I thought also, I was looking for someone to discuss, and then I found he discusses it, is by children's tents. Sometimes they sell in the store, you know, a tent that pops up, and kids roll around in the tent, and then they close, you know, clubhouse or whatever, and then they close up the tent. A lot of kids play with this on Shabbos. So I thought it's meant to be open and closed, so that should be like the Triskel. So for the Chazon Ish and the Chasam Sofer, meant to be open and closed. So it should be permissible. For the Neder Yehuda, it should be usher, because the Triskel is only I don't intend to use the underneath. Here, I intend to use the underneath. But the Orcha Shabbos is machmir even for the Chazon Ish, based on what we said before. That what does the Neder Yehuda do with the Ramah? The Ramah says you can open and close the awning. So he says, no, because an awning is an awning even when it's closed. An umbrella, when it's closed, is a garnished. It's nothing. It's not an oa when it's closed at all. So the Orcha Shabbos says that he thinks that the children's tent, when it's closed, it gets put in a bag and you hang it back in the toy closet. So that's also gone once it's closed. So maybe this would be under the minig of the umbrella, that we don't use umbrellas, would include maybe a baby tent, you know, the kids' tents. So in all the books, they recommend that kids who play on Shabbos by making tents, even if it's not osei l'kach, it's worse, you know, that they have a bed and then they put a blanket over the bed and make some sort of tent. That all that is an Oel Arai, which would be, we're Machmir on that.
That's just according to the Orcha Shabbos. The blankets on
the... No, all the books are Machmir on the blankets. That's not a Triskel. That's making an Oel Arai. But even on the folding tents, I thought that the Chazon Ish would be Mekel, and he says no. Because it's like the umbrella that when I fold it up and put it away... There's nothing there, so maybe that's part of the minig of not using umbrellas. Would be not use a folding tent either.
Will you tell your Will you tell your kids if they're?
Yeah, it's a different issue. Depends on all the kids are.
Does the Chazon Ish answer to the Navi that's saying that it's open to chol?
I think that's why doesn't allow the umbrella. He says umbrella would be a pirtza. Why is it over the chol? I don't know. It's hard to. I don't know why it's called over the chol. The main issue is the pirtza.
What's the definition
of the Nevi'ah? Of the Dechol. Every time I carry something in Rosh Hashanah, in a Karmos where I have an Erev, it's of the Dechol, because during the week, I don't understand. I don't know why it should be called of the Dechol. Our definition, our working definition of Ludo was something that if I do it during the week, normally when I do it, I encounter a malacha. I'm doing it with a kunst that I don't encounter malacha, okay, it's still Ludo Chol. Here, I don't know what malacha would be normally. So Umar says that you cannot make an Olo Arai B'Shabbos. So Rashi there says the Dafka Gag of Al Mechitza Arai is Mutter. And that's how we understand the Gemara in Erevin. The Gemara in Erevin is discussing a chatzah that Rav and Shmuel shared, and there was a mechitza that went in between them in order to be matar tiltol for Erevin and each chatzah, and the mechitza fell down on Shabbos. So Shmuel put up a mechitza in between the two chatzeros on Shabbos. So the Gemara gets involved in a whole discussion of will that be matar tiltol, but the mechitza fell down, whatever, that's not what we're interested in. But the Gemara says that he put up that mechitza on Shabbos with tznius, so that they should have a little privacy in each chatzah. So Rashi says, you see that you're allowed to put up a mechitza that's arai on Shabbos. So Tosus there in Erevin disagrees, and he says, no, a mechitza litznius, that's mutter. But a mechitza that would be matir something, mechitza that's needed, betoras, quote-unquote mechitza, that would be also on Shabbos. How does he know? Because the Gemara says in Erevin that you cannot make the third wall of a sukkah. Let's say I have two walls of a sukkah on Yontif, and I forgot to put up the third wall. So the Rav comes over and he says, oh, you need a third wall. So you cannot put up the third wall on Yontif, because that's a mechitza, hamateras. It's a halachic mechitza. Or if an Erev falls down on Shabbos, you can't go back and put up the Erev, because that's a mechitza hamateras. You're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. So that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, this distinction of Tosus, that if it's a mechitza with tznius, that's permissible, and if it's a mechitza also you go hantir, that's also. What is a mechitza also go hantir? So the Ramah says, if I need a mechitza to have svarim in the room, and the person is, and he wants, he's osa tzarachov, he needs to relieve himself in the room, so he can't do that in front of svarim, so he's going to put up a mechitza between him and the svarim. So that's Aser, because that's a mechitza amateras. So Magen Avraham there says, that's only if I make a mechitza, and I'm using a petaras mechitza. A kui, a svarim, where a person needs to be also tzarach, if he could put it, he could cover the svarim. Kui betoch kui, I could put two blankets over the svarim over here, and not make it into a mechitza. So that's permissible, the Magen Avraham says. Then I'm just covering svarim, I'm not making a mechitza. So the Magen Avraham extends as well. He says, even if I make a mechitza, but I don't need a betaras mechitza, like if I cover the svarim, meaning if I make the mechitza so high that I can't see the svarim, a mechitza could work as long as it's 10 tefachim tall, even if I can see the svarim. So it doesn't work betaras kisoy. Let's say this bookcase over here. So I put him a mechitza 10 tefachim tall. So then this area is a separate halachic area. I could do whatever I want in here. But if I make the mechitza so tall that I can't even see the svarim, I don't need the Torah's mechitza, quote-unquote. I could have that function but Torah's kisoy, because I can't see the svarim. So Magen Avraham says, when I build it so high up to the wall, I don't need a Torah's mechitza, I can use a Torah's kisoy. That would be permissible on Shabbos. And the Be'er Halacha doesn't like that. He says, no, but you have a mechitza here. So that's the discussion between the Magen Avraham and the Be'er Halacha. We mentioned that it says in Shulchan Aruch, when a person has an OL that's already made for a tefach, I could extend that OL. So does that heter extend to mechitzas as well? That once I have a tefach of a mechitza, I could extend the mechitza further? So the Ramah says that it does. If I have a mechitza that's a tefach, I could continue to extend the mechitza. So therefore, you have a mechitza between two rooms, and I need to make it for whatever halachic purpose. I need to make it two rooms, so it's for sure one of these things, one of these partitions that's attached to the wall. You could extend it. If it's extended a tefach already, you could continue to extend it on Shabbos. But even if we would say, since it's attached to the wall, that's not called the mechitza anyway. That's like triskal, that it's made from before Shabbos. So it wouldn't be an issue of asiyas mechitza anyway. But even if it wouldn't be attached to the wall, if it's open to tefach, that would be permissible.
In this case, what's called open tefach, meaning even if it's all bunched up,
that's not a tefach.
So it has to be unbunched.
Unbunched a tefach.
Definitely not.
This thing I don't think bunches up all the way, but
yeah.
I think it's broken a little bit. But either way, since it's attached to the wall or to the ceiling, then that's not machitza.
You could have something this long, but that's a problem. Once you open it up that much, that's
right, because that's machitza. Yeah.
With the another beer in Esther, I call that a traska.
Either way, I don't think this comes involved in that discussion. They say whatever is attached to the wall, that's a mechitza already. I'm not, that's called, it's like opening a door and closing a door. This is like a door. I don't think you have to come onto the triskel. I mean, that's what Yesa says. Here, it's like a door. That's not called bona.
Yeah, because his definition was that it's not.
Right.
Also, you look
so
not doing anything
with that. Right. But I think here it's different. It's like a door. I mean, you can't deny the door, so why is this different than a door? The Mordechai is quoted by the Mishnah Berurah that a mechitza ha'osei l'hafzik to separate between men and women b'shash drashas hachacham during the sermon is permissible to make on Shabbos. But the traditional poskim don't discuss, you know, the early poskim don't discuss making a mechitza between men and women for davening on Shabbos. I think I once heard of Shechta explain because in traditional shuls there was always a balcony. They didn't have men and women on the same ground level. That's an American innovation. That's why you don't find the discussion in the classical poskim of how tall a mechitza has to be, because it never came up. It was always on a separate ground level. So can you make a mechitza between men and women on Shabbos to be mater them to daven? So the Sfarim say that in the Shabbos home, he says that he thinks that's, most of the poskim say they think that's permissible, because the whole reason that you need a mechitza between men and women on Shabbos is for, so that they shouldn't mingle during davening. So that's why Moshe says mechitza has to be shoulder high, so that people don't mingle once it's shoulder high. Shechter also quoted from the Rav that he felt he could make a mechitza between men and women for davening on Shabbos because it's that's like a mechitza l'tznius. It's not a mechitza hamateres because it's just to prevent mingling. I have a taina on that though, but this is I told Rav Shechter. Shechter said, okay, it's a good taina. He didn't think it was such a big kasha, but my kasha is that normally, let's say a person, we're davening in this room, we ate lunch in the room, and there are men and women in the room, and we want to daven mincha, so we don't ask the woman to leave. They step to the back of the room, and they step to the side of the room, and that's the meaning, that people will daven mincha in the room, even though they're women in the room, because as long as it's not a permanent shul, you don't require a mechitza. We don't require a mechitza unless it's a shul. Why? Because mechitza is a din in Beis HaKnesses, making it dumi the mikdash. In the mikdash, it was an ezras nashim and ezras anashim. So, if it's not a shul, you don't require mechitza. So, what is the minimum?
You just need the separation,
right? But even let's say it is a shul. So, what's the minimum shir mechitza that you require in a shul to be called, an ezras nashim? So, the Rav said, this is what Shaftik told me. I think I've heard it from others as well. The Rav said that as long as I have 10 tefachim, a mechitza of 10 tefachim, I could daven there. But l'chachil, they should have it shoulder high, because that's... for whatever reason, you should have it shoulder high. So, but why is 10 tefachim relevant? 10 tefachim is halacha in hilchos mechitza. If the whole point is that it's a mechitza litznius, so that men and women shouldn't mingle, 10 tefachim should be irrelevant. So I don't know. So that's my war against the 10 tefachim mechitza. Should be irrelevant. The Rav's kula of putting up a mechitza on Shabbos should prevent the kula of 10 tefachim being a minimum shear. The minimum shear should be whatever works with Shane Tznius.
Moshe has a
tshuva
where he says that.
That what? is nothing. But the Rav held both. The Rav held you can make it on Shabbos, and 10 Tefachim is the minimal Shia that you could daven there. But why? 10 Tefachim should be relevant.
Also, Rav Moshe held that it would be a problem
if
the women
were back to the room. No, I think he says in a tshuva that if it's only on a temporary basis and you have a few women.
There's a Shaila meeting, I saw a Shaila that it's a parlor meeting or something intense.
Right.
So when they want to amar afterwards, they need to have women go in the other room. He said, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Women were on the board of the shul. I saw. Clearly, we're dealing with the evidence.
All right, let's start. So that's the end of making a mechitza. Let's move on to Makkah. A few things about Makkah Papatish, and next time we'll get more into it. The Gemara says, "Call me the Isbuhu Gemar Malacha." This is Gemara 9, Hey Amibes. Call me the Isbuhu Gemar Malacha. Avi Makkah Papatish. Rashi explains where was Makkah Papatish found in the Mishkan. Because after, in order to bang out the kalim of the that were used in the Mishkan, they would have to use a metal instrument, the hammer or whatever, to bang out the kalim. So, but the kli itself would become deformed by banging out the kalim. So after they were done, they would smack the kli on the anvil to smooth it out, to make it flat again. So that's Makkah Papatish. That's the slamming down that everything is done. Tosfos explains that no, it's the last hit that you hit the kli. The kli is already formed, but I'm making it smooth. So the last one that makes it smooth, or the process of making it smooth, that's all Makkah Papatish. It's on Kuf Beis.
Okay.
The Rambam says something interesting. The Rambam says Hakah Bepatish is an Av Malacha, and Kol Gemar Malacha Havi Toldo. So the Evan Ozo, Issa Zalman, is Medayik in the Rambam. That the Makkah Bepatish, Hakah Bepatish, is the Av Malacha, that's not the last thing. Kol Gemar Malacha, that's a Tolda. The Av doesn't necessarily have to be a Gemar. The Hakah Bepatish was not necessarily a Gemar. So Evan Ozo explains that he thinks that anything that's a Maisa Uman, the Hakah Bepatish was a Maisa Uman, only you had to be a special metal worker. So that's the Av Malacha. Nothing to do with the last thing. Any, and the Tolda is, any last process is a Tolda. Why? Because any last process is usually also a Maisa Uman. Or it's similar to a Maisa Uman.
He doesn't say anything about, well, he does mention Maisa
Uman. We'll get to it in a second. He does mention it. So Evan Ozo thinks he thinks any Maisa Uman, that's the Av Malacha. And any Gemar Malacha is similar to a Maisa Uman. And that's the Tolda. With that, he explains the Rambam, which is in the next halacha, where the Rambam says that Hamapish Shchin, person wants to let pus out of a growth on Shabbos. So in the Gemara it says that that's Asim Midrabanan. It's also with Malach Shin Tichel Gufa, whatever, it doesn't make a difference. So it would have involved the Malach Midaraisa, it just happens to be Malach Shin Tichel Gufa. So what Malach Midaraisa is involved here? So Rashi says boneh, because you made a Pesach ba'adam, made an opening. And the Rambam disagrees and he says it's Makkah Bepatish. It seems to be a machlokas, this is what they quote, is the machlokas harishon, and whether the yesh binyan ba'adam or ain't binyan ba'adam. According to Rashi, when I make the mapis morsa, I make a Pesach ba'adam, that's binyan. The Rambam holds his ain binyan ba'adam, so the Rambam resorts to Makkah Bepatish. So the Kesef Mishnah quotes from the Ramach, but this is not a Gemar Malacha. Well, Makkah Bepatish, not the finishing of anything. So the Evan Ozel says, if you look in the language of, Rambam, of the Rambam, there, where is it? Perek Yud, Aruch Yud Zayin, I think it is. He says, Hamapis Morsa Kederach Shosim Harofim. Also he says, so the Evan Ozel says, that's a Maisa Uman. It doesn't have to be the Gemar. When does it have to be the Gemara if it's not a real Maisa Uman? Oh, then it has to be the Gemara. Well, the Rambam says, I think it's also in the next halacha after that, that a minar talis, person has dust on his talis, and he cleans it. So I don't know if you remember from Malabain, that was a machokas Rashi and Tosas. What's it talking about? But both of Rashi and Tosas felt that that was Malabain. So the Rambam says it's not Malabain, it's Makabe Patish. So where Sameach has Akashi, he says the Rambam also says if a person has coats and bibigdo, this is quoted in the Rambam as well. If a person is walking next to a thorn bush and he gets thorns stuck into his coat. So it's permissible to remove them on Shabbos. So for Rashi and Tosfos, the reason that it's permissible is because that's mibachutz. Dust could get ingrained in the beged. This is surface dirt. That's not melabein. But for the Rambam, that cleaning dirt off a beged is makabe patish, why is taking off the kotzim not makabe patish? That's the Or Sameach's question. So if you look there in the Rambam, the Rambam says, "Haminar talis chadasha, kederech shehaumnin osin." I dry clean it. So then that's makabe patish, not because it's the last malacha. That's makabe patish because I'm doing a maisa uman. Anytime you do something that only an uman could do, that's makabe patish because of the maisa uman, not because it's necessarily a gemar. So that's why the kotzim are permissible. But why can't the kotzim be the last thing that I do? As a person's walking next to a tree and he gets kotzim stuck in his coat. Now, how come when I take it off, that's not makabe patish? I'm making the coat more usable. The end process. Because the Gemara says, "Hai man deshaku akufi miglimi." A person has sometimes when begadim are made, there's still threads, you know, stuck in. You pull out the thread, the tailor forgot to take out. So that's makabe patish. So why is the kotzim different? So I think the answer is that because here it's after the beged is already done. Once the beged is already done, there's no makabe patish. A gemar melacha means the beged is being made, and there are a few threads still sticking out from its processing. So to take those out, that's makabe patish. If I have a coat that I've had for a year and I walk next to a tree and I get thorns, that's not makabe patish. So similarly, if I have a garment which is fully made and then they attach a price tag to it, or then they attach a dry cleaning tag to it, that's not makabe patish to remove the dry cleaning tag or the price tag because the garment was done already. That's based on this idea by the kotzim. That kotzim that attach themselves to a beged is not makabe patish to remove them afterwards because the beged is already done. There is a fundamental machlokas harishonim as to how to define makabe patish between Rashi and the Meiri. The Gemara says that hakosev os achas v'hishlam es hasefer. Normally, in order to be chayv mishum kosev, you need two letters, two osios. It says in the Mishnah in Kol Gadol. But let's say I have one letter and that finishes off a sefer. How do I know the sefer is done? Maybe the person will write an appendix. So Rashi says it's only talking about Echem Yisifrei Tanach. So now I know it's done. There's no appendix to Megillas Esther. It's over. So I write the last letter, Megillas Esther. I'm over already, Mishum Kosev, even though it's only one letter. Or if I'm stitching a beged, and I only make one stitch, but it finishes the beged, I know I'm done. So you can hear Chayv Mishum Oreg. So the Meiri there asks, why am I not Chayv Mishum Makabe Patish? Why Kosev? So the Meiri says a yesod that makabe patish can never be the actual construction of the item. That's the different malacha. The actual construction is not makabe patish. Makabe patish is finishing touches. The item is basically made. I have a little neiman sticking out. I have a little thread sticking out. That's makah b'patish. But the weaving of the beged cannot be makah b'patish. The writing of the sefer cannot be makah b'patish. And he brings a raya because the Gemara says hatsar tzura b'kli. Person has a kli which is made already, and he draws little drawings on the kli. So that's makah b'patish. Or a person has what's the other case? Yeah, or pulling the threads out of the beged. That's makah b'patish. But making the kli itself, it's not a finishing touch. That would not be makah b'patish. Many achronim assume like the Meiri. Rashi seems to disagree. Because Rashi says by the case of the making of the beged, that a whole beged was made except for the neck hole. Neck hole was never made. So a person who makes the neck hole on Shabbos, ha-poseach, beis ha-tzavar, so some Rishonim said it's korea, whatever. Rashi says not korea, it's makah b'patish. What do you mean? So for the Meiri, that can never be makah b'patish. Makah b'patish is finishing touches, not the actual construction of the beged. Here I'm actually, this is the finishing of the construction, not a finishing touch. Or Rashi says, one who makes a chavis, one who makes a basket on Shabbos, is chayv 7 chatos. So Rashi throws in makah b'patish. So maybe we would say, it can't be makah b'patish. That's the making of the chavis, the barrel. Rashi also, it's consistent. Rashi is consistent. Rashi also says at the beginning of Perek HaBoneh that if I hew out a stone, am I using that right? I take a stone out of the ground with the last hit of the hammer, I knock the stone out. So Rashi says that's makah b'patish. And the Meiri there quotes Machlokas about that, and he, I think, sides with the other shita. No, it means it's already detached, but it became stuck. That's makah b'patish. But to the actual detaching from the ground is not makah b'patish. In a few cases, Rashi is consistent on this. So then the question, you know, Hadra Kushi L'Dukta, the Meiri asks, so how come when I finish off the Sefer, and how come when I finish off the Beged, that's not Kotsev, that's not Orek, I'm sorry, that's only Kotsev, that's only Orek. What happened to Makah B'Patish? So the Minchas Chinuch says, Taki Yurchayv twice. It's Kotsev and Makah B'Patish. This is the Meiri's Shita throughout. He's also consistent on this. Whenever it could be two things, Yechayv, two chatos, that's it. He doesn't distinguish between malachos. They could overlap. We've discussed that in the past. The Sfas Emes says a teretz for Rashi, which is more conceptual. The Sfas Emes says that Makah B'Patish cannot overlap with any other malacha. Makah B'Patish is a last resort. If it's any other malacha, it's not makah b'patish. That's just not the purview of makah b'patish. Makah b'patish could be in the actual construction of the item, not like the Meiri said. If, assuming, that it's not any other malacha, then it could be makah b'patish, even though it's the actual construction. But, if it's any other malacha, it cannot be makah b'patish. It's a last resort malacha. And there are Achronim who side with that side as well. So this is the major machlokas in terms of how to define makah b'patish. Can it be an actual? Generally, the Meiri would say it's only on finishing touches, and Rashi could say it could even be the actual construction of the item. But makah b'patish is only a last resort. Okay.
Khan called it the catch basin.
Huh?
Yeah.